Let me start over. Tonight, what I wanted to share on, I've titled Walking Like Christ, a Christian. Because it's Christ where?
In us. I can't hear you. In us.
So that makes us a Christian. It's Christ in us, right? And so the question I hold out to all of us is, what cultivates Christian growth? We all want to grow. We don't want to be stagnant Christians, do we? When you go to school, why do you go to school? To learn and to increase in knowledge. And then you increase in the next grade, and so on through college. Well, with God, it's a little bit easier than that kind of learning, because it's putting on His love. Putting on His love in the depths of our hearts so that we can have a victorious life, because we're listening to God, not the world. Our theme verse for the evening I have up on our TV screen, but for those of you who cannot see it, it is James chapter 3, verse 17, which says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." That's not what God's about. It doesn't include those. It includes everything that was read previous to that. So that's our theme verse. What cultivates Christian growth? We're going to look at some of them in verses of Scripture, to what God says. And that's what we want to listen to, what God says. God's Word is always profitable and life-giving. Some people may not understand that, but we have life now, but it's the carnal life. And we want the spiritual life, because life is spiritual. So, we're going to look at here where Jesus is getting 12 of his followers to go out into the areas where they are, and with power, about who Jesus ordained. And these all, all that God requires from you and I is to do everything with the love of God. That's our requirement. The prerequisite is to do it with the love of God. We don't have to get a PhD in theology or anything like that. It's that easy. It's that simple. It's to hold forth, even if you only know a very small amount of God's Word, know this, that it's built on His love. And I'll give you a quick little story that really rattled my heart, and I was just super blessed to hear this. And it was about this little girl in India. And when I say little girl, she was younger than 10 years old, I believe. And she was at a fellowship, and she was hearing all about this love of God and His healing power. Well, her neighbor was a woman who had cancer, some serious illness. And as soon as she was done with this fellowship, she went to this lady and ministered healing to her, the best she knew how, from hearing about the love of God and His healing power. And you know what? The woman was delivered. The woman was delivered because of the enthusiastic little girl having the love of God soak her heart and get her all worked up about it, which is good. And here, people are saying, "Oh, well, nothing's working for me. You know, I've been in the Word for 30 years and blah, blah, blah." It's not about the time you spent in the Word. It's what you do when you're in the Word. It's not about walking. It's about being who we are that God calls us to be. And so when I heard that about the little girl and her action, after being exposed to God's Word and believing in her heart for the first time in her life, and this is in one day, it made me look in the mirror and say, "Well, why can't I do this?" I can. Don't say, "Why can't I?" You can. You just need to step out and do it. And again, all that's required is the love of God. So when we come to fellowship like this one, it's to get built up and help others. That's what we learn about. We get built up and we help others with what we take in. It's not just about holding it in your head and thinking about it all day. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says to the church in Rome, to strengthen their faith in believing. And for this, I would ask all of you to go to Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1. I'm going to read this out of the NLT, one of my favorite versions. And we're going to start in verse 11. And we'll read 11 and 12 in Romans 1. This is Paul again speaking to the church in Rome. For I long to visit you so I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the who? Lord. In the Lord. You guys with me? 11 of chapter 1 in Romans. And then verse 12 says, when we get together, as we are doing right now, when we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. It's a two-way street, huh? I thought that was very humble and meek of him to say that. You know, oh, Paul knows everything, but he wants to be encouraged by their faith. Now, I want to look, I've got five, well, there's many, many more, but we're going to briefly look at five ways to cultivate and grow our faith. Okay? So if you're taking notes, the first one is to make fellowship a priority. Make fellowship a priority. In life, we make many, many other things a priority, and especially the things that will benefit you, being selfish if it will be. We make other things in life a priority. In my job at work with the United States Postal Service, we have something that you've all heard of called priority mail. You pay extra for it. It's anything that's $5 above, it's automatically priority. And that means it gets moved to the front of the line, and it gets to where it has to be faster than regular first class. The only thing better than that is what we call priority express. That means it has to get there the next day. So when we come across a piece of the mail, right away we give it to the driver who's driving around the plant to take it, to get it out of here. So make fellowship a priority, okay? Despite everyone's busy lives, and we all have that, especially those of us who are still working, we need to make time in keeping our hearts in fellowship with one another. And it says this in, if you'll go there, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. We're going to look at verse 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, 24. I'll give you a moment to get there. And it says, or I should say, and God says, Hebrews 10, 24. Okay, keep up with me, you guys. Hebrews 10, 24, God says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Well, what exactly how do we do that? Well, first of all, when you see someone, you say, God bless you. And I'm so thankful for what you did for me the other day. Or I wanted to ask you, is there something I can do for you today? Okay? The King James says, provoke to love. Okay? That almost sounds contradictory. Like, you want to make them mad to get... No. It means to motivate people to acts of love and good works. Verse 25 goes on to say, and let us not neglect our meeting together. Do not neglect our meeting together. Fellowship is a priority. It should be. As some people do. But encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. I would think from time to time that if Jesus were to come back right now, it'd be a perfect time. Because what are we doing? We're fellowshipping around God's word. I don't want him to come around when I'm doing something goofy or whatever. When he comes, I want to be caught doing his God's will. And I'm sure you're the same. Because I'm just throwing this out there. Jesus could come back right now. He says, okay, you guys, what you're learning about, that's great. But it's time to go where you will see much, much more of God's blessings. So, Hebrews 10:24-25. My beautiful wife and I have been doing fellowships for years and years. Right, sweetheart?
Yes.
And with great joy in our hearts.
Oh, yeah.
Serving. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. God has always, always been there for our fellowship. We've seen a lot of believers' lives change over these years of holding fellowship. We've seen people's lives change for the better. Need I say that? For the better. Moving on. Number two, with our spiritual growth and understanding, is keep being humble and meek. A quality in our walk. Being humble and meek. It's a quality in our walk. We allow God to show us new things along the way. How many here have seen some new things that the Father has shown you along the way? I'm the only one?
No.
Oh. Okay. Focus on Him, not the world. The world is in your face every day because we're looking at things with the carnal mind. In other words, what we see, hear, taste, touch, or feel. And the devil tends to use that to his advantage. But we need to focus on God. So now I would ask everyone to go to Matthew 28, please. Matthew chapter 28. And when you get there, Matthew 28, go to verse 20. It's the last verse in that chapter. Jesus Christ is speaking here. And the first word he uses is teach. King James says teaching. It says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, to the end of the world. Amen. Because, again, it's Christ in us. We are Christians. So Jesus never leaves us. He's there with us. So when you think about doing something wrong, just remember who's watching. Just remember who's there with you doing that. And that maybe, I trust, will stop you. So we got to keep on being humble and meek. That's a great quality to have as a son or daughter of God. Number three, serving. I touched on that briefly a moment ago, serving. It's just funny, that connotation, when you're in certain environments, like say you go out to eat, hey, get the server over here. People tend to look down on them because, oh, you know, they're not such a big deal because they have to serve us and serve the food and stuff like that. No. Remember Jesus Christ, what he did when he washed the feet of the apostles?
Bob's house.
But serving should be an honor, because the greatest leaders are the greatest servers. So who do we follow? That's a big one. It should always be a knowledge of the truth, and serving is part of that. And those helping you focus on the guidance as we stay humble and serve. Go to Matthew chapter 23, please. Matthew 23, and we're going to read this record. It's 12 verses long, starting in verse 1. And all of this is done, again, with his love. Okay? So, again, I'm going to read this out of the NLT. Matthew 23, starting in verse 1. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. So far, that's not a bad thing. So practice and obey whatever they tell you. But, there's that word, B-U-T, but don't follow their example. I'm glad this goes on. All right? For they don't practice what they teach. We've heard that a lot of times growing up. It says, practice what you preach, right? Verse 4, they crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. Sadly enough, there's some people at work that are kind of like this. Verse 5, everything they do is for show. Is for show. On their arms, they wear extra wide prayer boxes with scripture verses inside, and they wear robes with extra long tassels. They want all the glitter, pomp, and whatever you want to call it, to look good in front of everybody, right? Verse 6, and they love to sit at the head of the table at banquets. Oh, let me sit here. No. I need to sit there. Excuse me, my tassels are touching the chair. And in the seats of honor in the synagogues. So they want everybody to look at them. They love to receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi. Don't let anyone call you rabbi, for you have only one teacher, and all of you are equal brothers and sisters. That gets rid of a lot of division in the one body, that we know that and believe that and act like that. Verse 9, and don't address anyone here on earth as Father, for only God in heaven is your spiritual Father. Amen. Amen. Verse 10, and don't let anyone call you teacher, for you have only one teacher, the Messiah. Jesus Christ is the teacher. He's teaching all these folks, disciples, apostles, followers of him, of the right way to do things. The greatest among you must be a servant. Like I just said, the greatest leaders are the greatest servers. And verse 12, here we go. But those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So don't worry about getting a gold star by your name. Just serve and do God's will. That'll all come, especially at the gathering together. God's going to hand out these rewards and say, oh, you. You know how much this guy served when he was alive? What about me? No. You're always trying to get up in the front of everything. Let all that take care of itself. So moving on to number 4, our prayer life, which is a big deal. Our prayer life. So let's start in Philippians 4:6. You all are familiar with this one, but we're going to look at it anyway. Philippians 4:6. And it says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, right, Don? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You mean God's going to listen to me? Absolutely. Absolutely. You let him be known to God and ask him what's the best answer or solution to this situation. Now look at 1 Thessalonians, please. Go to 1 Thessalonians. And when you get there, go to chapter 5. And starting in verse 16. It says, rejoice how often?
Always.
Evermore. Rejoice evermore. Pray without what?
Ceasing.
And verse 18, in everything give thanks. In everything. You mean I got a flat tire? Give thanks, Lord? Yeah. You know why? Because there's a way out. And he's going to help you with that. Don't focus on the problem. Focus on the solution. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of man. Somebody going to stop me? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Christians, that's who we are. Concerning you. Mm-hmm. Take this personal. Take this personal. Because that's what God wants you to do. And then let's go to 1 John. And in 1 John chapter 5. And verse 14. 1 John 5:14. And we hear this a lot in manifestations about confidence. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, He hears you. God hears you. God hears you. Father, I need help with this person who's hemming and hawing about believing you and your truth and making Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. I need your help with that. Stand by. Stand by, because God's going to, you know, do something that pleases him. What about speaking in tongues? We all know that that's a big deal. God says it's perfect prayer, whether we speak in the Spirit or with our understanding. Speaking in tongues is way up there. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's something that we can do as a group here, as long as we interpret what we speak in tongues. Or when you're lying in bed, you know, you speak in tongues. And what I like to do when I do that is you can just start rattling off speaking in tongues, which is good. But I visualize God in my heart. And I said, Father, this is for you. And I speak in tongues. I speak in tongues, speak in tongues. And then maybe after that I might think of a situation I need help with. I speak in tongues for that. Or someone I love that needs some help, physically, spiritually, mentally, I speak in tongues for that. So speaking in tongues is and should be a part of our walk. We can get into more details later, but for now, that's what I wanted to say about speaking in tongues concerning our prayer life. And finally, number five, and like I said, there's many other ways to walk as a Christian or grow in our faith. Is our love for one another. Don, I love you. I love you. I don't have to see your resume. God never saw. No, I love you. Judy, I love you very much. Lena, do you feel it? I love you. Maria, same to you. And of course, my beautiful bride, I love you. So our love for one another is very important. It helps us overlook the flaws, if you will. And I have a lot of flaws. But I know that that's not what you look at when you see me, and I don't look at that when I see you. But I look at you as someone who also believes in God, has made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, and wants to do his will. So that's all I need to know. That's all I need to know. And I want you to jump on the love bandwagon, because we're all in this together. Love is effective, one. It's valuable, two. And can be fruitful, to name just a few. That's what love is all about. Look at Matthew chapter 5. And when you get to Matthew 5, please go down to verse 14. And Jesus is speaking here. 5:14 in Matthew. You are the light of the world. Sometimes you might feel a little dim or your bulb is flickering. Shake your head. Shake your head, because he says you are the light of the world. He didn't say you are little light of the world or your light. Some people can see. He simply says you are the light of the world. Not of San Diego, of the world. Wherever you're at, you dispel darkness. You dispel darkness. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. And what house are we in? Of house of God. Okay? God never has to worry about SDG&E. God never has to worry about, we need 500 people to make a difference. One person's light shines bright. And that's so comforting to know how God thinks that about us. He's spoken that to Jesus, and Jesus is speaking that to us. Verse 16, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise, speaking of thankfulness, praise your Heavenly Father. That is the ultimate. So that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. I remember watching a movie years ago, and the title is not important, but there's these two girls in the movie, and one of them is a grungy kind of a person, or like always to herself and not saying anything, not very sociable. And there's another girl who's really, oh, look, you know, she's really happy and happy-go-lucky. And they end up getting together, and she starts helping this other girl that's quiet and all withdrawn and stuff. And the girl that's withdrawn says, why are you doing this? And the other girl says, because you let me. Okay? Because you let me. I thought that was very sweet. So we don't ask someone to let you be loving to them. You just do it. You just do it. If they say, no, leave me alone, that's another story. But it shouldn't stop you from being that light or that love in their lives so that they can say, why are you doing this? And when they say that, you just point up and says, because God tells me I should, and I want to do His will to draw you closer to Him and make Jesus Christ your Lord. So, in conclusion, let me say this. Growing in our spiritual lives can follow the world's way or God's. The world offers love with conditions. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. But God's love is what? Unconditional. Unconditional. Thank God. Because if there's conditions, ooh, I'd have a lot of homework to do. God doesn't change, for God is not a man that he should what? Lie. And who is the author of lies? The evil one. The evil one. So leave all that garbage to him, and let's do it God's way, and let's be those Christians and walk like Christ. It's not impossible. Because when Christ was here on earth, he was a what? A man. A perfect man, but still yet. And why do we have the Bible? So that we can learn from that and do those things. It's so easy to fall into the trap of the world, but that's, you know, we're just passing through. And the more you focus on that, believe me, actually, believe God, your life will be sweeter, abundant, fruitful, and successful. Amen?
Amen.
So, gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, dear Lord, for your great love and for Jesus Christ being our big brother and example as we want to walk like him as a Christian. And so I thank you for these things and for everyone's life here because we're all peculiar. We all have a purpose in life. And Father, like it says, and Jesus said, you never leave us. You never leave us. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We've got one more song. We want one more song I'm going to close out with.
Okay.
And it's to the point, so please enjoy this one.
Yeah. The Bible says it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Amen. You ready to do that tonight? I come before you today, and there's just one thing that I want to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you've given to me, for all the blessings that I cannot. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With a grateful heart, with a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I will bless your name and thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
in my life. You took my darkness and gave me your light. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. You took my sin and my shame.
Yes, you did.
You took my sickness and healed all my pain. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
With a grateful heart.
With a grateful heart. With a song of praise. With an outstretched arm. I will bless your name and thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord.
Sing it again. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, we do.
Thank you, Lord. With a grateful heart, with a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I will bless your name.
We thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
We thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Give him thanks tonight.
Amen. There's nothing more.